Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I am a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex-positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening. Okay, everybody, so I'm here with another fantastic interview with friend and colleague August McLaughlin, and let's learn a little bit about August. August is here. How are you, August?
I'm so well. I'm excited to talk to you, Erin.
Yay, me too. Thanks for taking the time. So here is August's bio. August's bio.
It's a hard one.
I know, tongue twisting. Okay, here we go. August McLaughlin is a nationally recognized health and sexuality writer, media personality and host, and creator of Girl Boner and Girl Boner Radio. Her articles have appeared in Cosmopolitan, The Washington Post, Dame Magazine, HuffPost, and more. A frequent speaker on sexuality and gender equality issues, August has been a featured TEDx presenter and attended the United States of Women Summit, convened by the White House as a nominated changemaker. Publishers Weekly called her book, Girl Boner, the Good Girl's Guide to Sexual Empowerment, equally fun, risque, and informative, and a welcome addition to sexual health literature. The companion book, Girl Boner Journal, a guided journal of self-awareness, is now available for pre-order, and actually, check it out because it actually might be available when this conversation airs.
Yeah.
So, August, welcome! Yay!
Thank you so much. So, I have to apologize to you because the Amazon page has not been updated yet with my new subtitle, so you couldn't have known this. I should have mentioned. The companion book subtitle changed to, so it's Girl Boner Journal, a guided journal for sexual joy and empowerment.
Yay! I love it! This is so exciting! And, you know, I had some Amazon issues before. It's part of the process. We have to embrace all of it. We have to learn to embrace it, correct?
It's so true. It's part of the journey. If you're on this journey and you're having rocks in the road, you're like, doing it right.
No, and that's, I wish someone would have told me that during my first book process, writing process. It was nuts. And so many things that I thought, well, like, what is wrong with me? Or that, no, this is normal. Totally normal. So, August. Okay, so we mentioned in your bio that you have a book called Girl Boner, and your brand is Girl Boner, correct?
Yeah, it is. My kind of whole life is Girl Boner. and the term is inspired by my experience growing up and in that awkward sex ed class that we all get to enjoy, learning a tiny bit, like, basically male pleasure was alluded to, quote unquote. There was absolutely no good news for girls or women. And of course, it was very heteronormative and very, you know, penis and vagina and all of that stuff. But the first time that I understood what boner meant, and I was maybe 11, I thought to myself, what about girl boners? So there was this curiosity forever. And then years later, I really started to struggle with the lack of empowered information. Like, I hadn't fully embraced my sexuality. And so I ended up developing this really severe eating disorder, and embracing my sexuality helped me heal and survive and go on to thrive. And so I'm really passionate about that. And I thought, it's time, you know, to, once I was a health writer, I thought, to have this conversation, like, to really talk about this lack of focus on pleasure. And also to be able to say, you can be a quote-unquote good girl, which isn't a judgment call, of course, but you can be someone with good morals and who wants to have a meaningful life and be a sexual being. It's okay.
I know. You're so right. Thank you for explaining all of that so that we have some background as how this, like, amazing title came about. I relate so much to what you just said. You know, growing up in a small town in Ohio, I mean, I feel like anything that was related to pleasure for women or girls was considered, oh, she's a bad girl, she's dirty, she's fast, she's easy. Like, all these words pop up in my head, right? But yeah, it was always this double standard for women. That's actually one reason why I started way back, you know, like 10 years ago doing this. In the dating way, though, of, like, why is there a double standard in terms of dating? I see all these dudes dating all these girls, and again, in, like, heteronormative spaces. But why is it that there's this double standard, and why can't women do this too? Or if they do, then they're seen as this thing, right? Even judged by other women a lot of times, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so let's go back to the book, Girl Boner. So I went to your book signing. I bought the book. It's fantastic. I mean, seriously, it is one of the most comprehensive books that I've seen on the topic, that's also easily digestible. and fun. You have like experts in the book adding advice. Like, it's really great. Can you just give a quick snippet of what readers can find in Girl Boner?
I really wanted it to be a companion where you actually feel like you have a friend or maybe a big sister who happens to have some expertise in this, not even just sexuality, but about sexual empowerment, who's gone through the journey, who's been in those dark places and can speak from experience, but also brings in those research findings and these experts, without it being this heavy, super clinical book. I think those clinical books are super important. I love them, and I used many as references. There's a big section in the back of the research that I did. But I needed us to have this fun experience. And certainly it gets heavy at times. You know, we talk about assault and we talk about, you know, repression, because you have to. You just can't talk about, especially women's sexual empowerment or LGBTQIA sexual empowerment, without talking about the challenges. But I really tried to keep it flowing, you know, so that it's a, you can step away from it, you can skip certain chapters, you can just go to the ones that are right for you, and cover the topics that I feel that either people don't know much about at all, and there's no shame in that, or they want to deepen their empowerment journey.
Can you give a couple titles of chapters or just a few things people could find in the book?
Sure. So I have a section on empowering sex positions, because I've noticed that a lot of times the sex positions are kind of laughable that we hear about in the media. It's like you have to like stand on your head and do all these weird, you know, like.
Or also, I'm not anti-porn, but I feel like a lot of people learn from porn, and a lot of that stuff, like, these are athletes, and so we learn from that. Are we really learning from that? That's crazy.
Exactly. And that's another section too. I talk about the challenges and the benefits of porn and how to fit it into your life if you want to, that you don't have to, you know, and how to figure out if this is empowering porn for you or not. As far as the positions, I talk about positions for when you're pregnant or when you have a backache or when you have extra rolls of skin and fat that you need to move. You know, I interviewed Elle Chase, who has a whole book on you know, curvy girl sex or curvy body sex. So those are a couple of the chapters. I have a lot of content on pleasure. There's journal exercises throughout. There's a section on sex toys. I personally love the section on privilege. It's not one that gets a lot of attention, and I specifically put it toward the end because it's not why people go to a sex book, but I think it's so important.
That's amazing. I mean, it really is, like I said, so comprehensive, and there's so much more in the book. I just wanted to give all of you listening a taste of what you can expect in the book, and so that is the perfect segue into August. She's not done, everybody. She's got more. So now you have a new book coming out called Girl Boner Journal. So what is this, a follow-up to Girl Boner or a companion or a totally separate book? Tell us all about it.
It can actually be both. So it's meant to be a companion book if you want to take those journaling exercises a lot deeper that are in the first book. And it also delves into some directions the first book doesn't, for people who are really into that process, because I think journaling is a really powerful way to work through sexual shame, to work into sexual self-discovery, to explore your fantasies without anyone sort of like watching or feeling like you're judged for anything. But it's also a standalone, so you could use that. Not everybody is into reading. I think it's great if you love listening to audiobooks and podcasts, for example. You might prefer to be writing your answers, and so each section has true stories. Some are mine, and then I interviewed a lot of different people. Our mutual friend Rain, who introduced us, Rain Parvis, is a stylist, and I interviewed her about social media as a stylist and also someone who was really feeling pressure to be always performing online, and she took a break. And so I think it brings in topics that the first book doesn't as well.
That's awesome. And so it will be released in May. And when you're listening to this, listeners, it might be available as you're listening to this right now. So where can they find Girl Boner Journal and Girl Boner?
So you can find them most anywhere books are sold. Certainly they're both on Amazon. You can also head to augustmclaughlin.com, and there are many different purchasing options. I'm a huge fan of indie bookstores too, so if an indie bookstore does not carry it, it's usually in their catalog. You can just ask for it.
Yay! I love it. So check out the books. But we're not done, everybody. We're not done. August is going to stay here and answer a few more questions for us, because she's a wealth of knowledge. This is a quick interview, as those of you who've listened to my show You know, but these interviews, I like to keep them kind of short. We all have short attention spans. But I just wanted to bring her on so you could learn a little bit about her. So August, one of the other ways that I know August is that she contributed to my book, The Consent Guidebook. She added a quote in the book. I'm so grateful to have her perspective. And in the book, I have 30 plus health teachers and sexuality coaches and things in the book giving advice, because I feel like in all of these topics we need a cross-section of people talking about these things, because my life and my journey is different from your journey, is different from August's journey, you know, etc. So your quotes in my book, talking about consent in particular and sexuality, you know, I mean, it's such there's so many ways we could go with this, but we don't have a lot of time. So you know, what are your general thoughts about how consent could empower someone sexually? Is there something that comes to mind for you, for anyone out there who might be a little like, oh God, there's all these conversations about consent and so much consent, and like that takes the sexiness out of things to have a consent talk. Do you have any general thoughts about that, about the intersection of consent and sexuality?
Yes, and I love that question, and I love your book. It's so digestible. I think it's so, so important. And it does. It makes it fun, which is also really key. And I think in terms of sexuality, it's interesting because it seems like as a culture, we have this idea that when we talk about consent, we're talking about two people who one person wants to have sex, they're not sure if the other person wants to have sex, so they better ask for it and get an enthusiastic yes. Like, that's kind of where we've come as a culture, which is an improvement from where we used to be. However, what I think not a lot of people realize until they start really practicing that muscle is how impactful it is to your relationship, to intimacy, to your ability to explore and have wonderful, pleasurable sexual experiences. Because what I have found is people have trouble talking about sex regardless. That's one reason it's so hard to talk about. If you never talk about sex, which, by the way, a lot of people who are in a relationship, they don't talk about sex with the person they're having sex with. That's very, very common, and no reason to feel ashamed either. And if you imagine that the first time that you actually talk about sex, it's like, I'm going to practice my consent now, and I'm going to be, you know, do you want to have sex? You know, that's uncomfortable. And what ends up happening when you really start practicing consent outside of the bedroom, I think it really helps in your whole life, not just with your partner or partners, but if you are at the grocery store and, you know, somebody is, you know, reaching for a can and you're not sure if they can reach it, don't just reach it for them. Say, excuse me, would you like some help with that? If they say no, say, great, thanks, have a nice day. You know, like those kinds of things. And then also practicing your saying yes and no and setting your boundaries helps relationships and sex in every way. Because what I've heard from a lot of people, especially listeners of my podcast, is that as they have gotten more comfortable talking about sex, they realize how deeply enhancing it is to their intimate lives overall. They feel closer to their partner. They feel more confident. They don't have that icky feeling of like, okay, so I wanted to have sex. I'm not sure if they did. So then we never did. And I thought they were tired. So then I just sort of laid there kind of struggling in my head. And I was like, I should have got my vibrator, but I didn't. Like, I mean, you don't have to have those experiences when you actually have the conversation. Because typically the partner, if a partner does not want to have sex and you find out that, typically the person who is desiring sex at that time is going to be very understanding. They just want to be close to you. If they aren't and they don't, they're a douchebag.
That, well said. Well said. No, it's so true. You know, it's so funny. As you're saying all this, this conversation just came up. A colleague of mine was just talking about this. And one of the things we were discussing was how you can even have quote unquote bad sex if you've consented. But that doesn't mean there was a violation, which gets into some nuances, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we have time for all of that. Consent is a first step, or a conversation around it. And it's also evolving. You know, what you might be into now might not be what you're into tomorrow or later today or whatever. And I think you said so many good things there, especially in terms of like established partners too. You know, I think there's a lot of times with an established partner, there's like this assumption that, you know, we're in the zone now, we're committed, we know each other, so there's no need to ask or like or talk about what happened before to improve, or was this okay, or, you know, those kind of things. So it's just, it's more of, you know, I just really quickly, I said to another friend the other day, Joe Biden came up and some of the things that are going on with him right now in terms of touching, but not sexual touching in particular. And I said, and they were like, oh, people are making such a big deal about this. I said, but here's the thing. The thing is that what we're really trying to get across is most people I know aren't saying it's the same thing. Him touching someone's shoulder is not the same, in the same category as like rape or something mm-hmm. egregious and serious and violent. But it's still not, oh, he's just a grandpa type, oh well. Mm-hmm. It's still someone asking permission. It's still somebody overlooking someone's potential boundaries. And that's an important thing. And like you mm-hmm. said before, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's with friends, and that's what my book covers too. It's like talking about different issues in the book. Your book, Girl Boner, talks about boundaries a little bit too, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. And I have a section on consent and boundary setting, and I interviewed this wonderful woman named Lisa Gaeta, who runs Impact Personal Safety, who does this incredible education on self-defense, really empowered self-defense. It's not about teaching people to be violent. I hear that a lot. It's about being strong in your own self and understanding boundaries, and you do these, like, you know, kind of role play exercises where you're just talking with somebody and they're creeping you out, and how do you deal with that? And I think that consent works that way too. You know, when you're practicing it, you mentioned long-term partnerships. If you are in a relationship and you want to try something new, or you want to send a dick pic, ask first. It's really not hard.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what that little shift can change, because one of the most beautiful things is whenever it is a yes, it builds anticipation. And anticipation is one of the sexiest things around. It increases arousal. It increases pleasure. You'll have stronger orgasms. All of it.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. We're running out of time. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, last question / thing you want to contribute for us. Do you have any general tips for improving one's confidence and enjoyment when it comes to sex and intimacy? And that can also mean, do you have any tips for encouraging someone to, like, if someone's a little bit nervous to have these conversations, are there tips in that realm too? Just general tips to improve all the fun, sexy, intimate times.
One of the reasons I wrote Girl Boner Journal, and this is not a plug, I kept recommending to people, journal it, like, journal about it. It's why I have journal exercises in the main book too. And it doesn't have to be one of my books to do this. Grab a sheet of paper, text it, you know, put it on your phone on a document. I think letting your thoughts out and really asking yourself, what do I want? Like, giving yourself permission to own your desires, to have curiosity, and to look back at your life and consider what messages and beliefs you have about sex, sexuality, consent, dating, all that stuff. What do you believe? I mean, how many people do that kind of inventory? Like, it's one of those, since it's so taboo in a lot of circles, I mean, we sit around and talk about everything, of course, which is one thing I love about you, but, and hopefully we do have friends that we can be really open with, but it's really powerful to really take inventory. If you have a belief, it doesn't have to be something you rationally believe. Let's say you just feel, here's a really cliche common example. Oh, men are sexual and women aren't really that into it. Okay. So let's say that you believe that, or you believe it, but you are like, I'm not sure, or you've just never questioned it. What's going to happen? It's going to impact all of your relationships. It's going to impact your desire. It's going to impact the way you interact with humans, your dating, all that stuff. And so ask yourself where this belief came from, and do you want to believe that? I mean, first of all, that's not true. I hope everybody kind of picked that up as I was speaking that. I said it in a very black and white way, but certainly I think we all have these layers to our own sexual journeys, and it is a perpetual journey. It's not like we get empowered and then we stop learning. I feel like it goes on and on, and I want to always be learning. So commit to that. Like, really examine your thoughts, your beliefs, and ask yourself, what do I want?
I love it. I will add to that also, give yourself permission to change what you currently are or believe. Yes. Because I feel like, again, it is an evolution. I know that who I am now in my 30s is fundamentally the same person, but in a lot of ways I'm very different. Mm-hmm. And I've explored more things, and I gave myself permission to explore these different circles. And that's, I think that's the beauty of both of our careers, yeah. is that we've weirdly, things that we might have felt nervous about, because we've created these careers around exploration, mm-hmm. we've been able to almost, it's been easier, maybe, I'll speak for myself, it's been easier for me to explore, because my career is that, to explore and interview people and go to conferences and go to mm-hmm. interesting parties and interesting spaces and stuff. And mm-hmm. so it's been a blessing. I realize not everyone has that luxury and that opportunity to do that in that way. But I mean, just give yourself permission to evolve in terms of what you currently like and what you might like later, or mm-hmm. what you might be interested in.
Yeah, very well said. I absolutely agree. And I think, too, it's important to note that as you evolve, evolving looks different for everyone. And you might evolve and still have very similar sexual desires. And that's okay. I think sometimes people get the idea that if you evolve, you're going to get really kinky. You're going to be, you know, hanging naked from the chandelier with a whip. And you're going to be non-monogamous. And you know what I mean? And, like, maybe you will be. And that's great. Woohoo. Have fun. But it also may be, and I've heard this from multiple people who I've spoken to, where they were like, oh, I thought I was going to be really this way and that way. And it turns out pretty much how I was, but now I have a much stronger acceptance and compassion for it. And that's beautiful. It's really not about trying to measure up or be a certain way. It's evolving to get to know yourself and to allow yourself to change if you want to.
Yay, August, you're so great. Thank you for taking the time. Okay, so before we wrap up, you have to tell everybody where they can find out more about you, where they can follow you on social media, all the things. Tell us.
Thank you, Erin. So you can head to augustmclaughlin.com or girlboner.org, and you can sign up for my monthly extras if you want news about Girl Boner events or episode extras. My podcast, you can find on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It's called Girl Boner Radio. And I'm everywhere on social media. If you search for the hashtag Girl Boner, August pops up.
I love it. It's so good. Seriously, it's such a good brand name, hashtag, book name. So good.
Thank you.
Like, it's so recognizable. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people react to it when you tell them. They're like, Girl Boner, what? Like, it's like an instant
it's my
reaction.
Favorite thing. Yeah, it's my favorite thing. And it's funny because I think because I seem very, like, Minnesota, you know, like, I maybe, like, bake cookies and volunteer a lot. I do bake cookies. And
you volunteer.
You know, I think I do. Yeah. But people don't expect me to be talking about the clitoris and all that, you know? Like, they just don't. And so when people ask me what I do and I say it's called Girl Boner, I mean, the reactions are beautiful. And there's, like, this delight and then this giggle. And sometimes people are like, wait, you? And so now I'm going to put my picture back on my logo because I'm like, my face should be next to Girl Boner then, because I don't think we change the world if we try to make everyone super comfortable and stay predictable. I want people to know they can be, quote, good, and they can have boners, and they can be Christian, and they can have sex and be kinky, and they can be Muslim, and they can be swingers. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's how we change the world.
I love it. August, thank you so much. Again, follow August on all of the social medias. Buy her book, Girl Boner and Girl Boner Journal. I'm so tongue-tied today. Stay with me here. August, you're the best. Thank you so much. And stay tuned for more interviews soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.